Welcome to episode one of my chem podcast, a podcast where we can talk about chemistry. We are Lee and Sam, the creators of this podcast, and your directors for this episode. In this episode, we're talking about many different things involving chemistry, all of which we've learned in the 2023-2024 school year in our chemistry class.
I have a question. I barely know anything about chemistry, and what I've heard most is the periodic table, and I don't know exactly what it is. What is it?
So, in school, you're given a legal cheat sheet to help study the elements using the atomic structure and other details about the periodic table, some of which you get the three major groups to study. Metals, which have a bunch of different subgroups within, starting with alkaline earth metals, alkali metals, anthoids, actinoids, transition metals, and post-transition metals. The next major group is metalloids. Doesn't really have any subgroups within that, to our knowledge at least. The last major group is nonmetals, which holds two subgroups, noble gases, and just a subgroup for the rest of the nonmetals. And did you know that the father of the periodic table is Dmitri Mendeleev, who actually studied the cards and was trying to find a pattern within them? But he was actually missing some of the elements at the time. So, from what we know of, gallium, germanium, and scandium were all unknown in 1871. But Mendeleev left spaces for each and predicted their atomic masses and other chemical properties. But within like 15 years or so, the missing elements were discovered, conforming to the basic characteristics that Mendeleev had recorded at the time. Just so you know, Dmitri Mendeleev did not actually discover any of these elements, but he did predict the existence of some of the elements. So, now I have a question for you.
What is your question?
So, as we all know, hydrogen and methane can be extremely flammable. So why doesn't the planet Uranus explode if it contains so much hydrogen and methane?
That's a very good question. Uranus contains a significant amount of hydrogen and methane and is both highly flammable gases, as you know. However, the burning of methane and hydrogen requires oxygen, and Uranus doesn't have oxygen. So simply put, there is no free oxygen in the planet Uranus, meaning it's not flammable.
That is really interesting. I did not know that. Thank you for telling me.
Of course.
So, we're going to head into our next topic, thermochemistry, and there's something that caught my eye when I was studying it.
What's the question?
So, can water actually stay liquid below 0 degrees Celsius if that is its true freezing point?
That's a very good question. Yes, water can stay liquid below 0 degrees Celsius. There are a few ways in which this can happen. The phase of the material depends slowly strongly on both its temperature and pressure. For most liquids, applying pressure raises the temperature at which the liquid freezes to a solid. A solid is formed when the loose membrane molecules of a liquid get slow enough and close enough to form stable bonds that pin them together in place. When we apply pressure to a liquid, we force the molecules to get closer together. They can therefore form stable bonds and become a solid, even if they have a high temperature and at the freezing point at the standard pressure. Water is somewhat unique. Water molecules spread out when they are bonding into a solid crystalline structure. The spreading out action leads ice to be less dense than liquid water, causing ice to flow. This spreading out action of water molecules during freezing also means that applying pressure to water lowers the freezing point. If you apply enough pressure, making it hard for the water molecules to spread out into the solid structure, you could have liquid water several degrees below 0 degrees Celsius.
So, I want to end this week's podcast episode with some fun facts and some random questions. So, my thing was, did you know glass is an amorphous solid?
I did not know that.
Okay. So, glass is not necessarily liquid in the strictest sense of the word, but it's also not a standard solid like most believe it to be. The chemistry of glass is very complex, and research is still ongoing. But the current consensus is that glass is a phase of matter all in its own, known as, like I said, the amorphous solid. Scientists refer to any amorphous solid as glass. Glass transitions are highly complex and cannot be treated in the same way as traditional phase transitions. So there you come up with amorphous solid all in its own term.
That's a crazy fun fact. I did not know about that.
So I was trying to research just random fun facts earlier, and I came across this question. Can you light a diamond on fire?
That's a very good question that I have not had that asked before. But yes, diamonds can be burned. The most common form of burning in everyday life is carbon combustion. In carbon combustion, carbon atoms break their bonds with each other and with other atoms, which requires energy, to form bonds with oxygen atoms, which release even more energy than the first required. The net extra energy released in this reaction can then go to rip more carbon atoms free of their non-oxygen neighbors, thus continuing the reaction, or the energy can escape as heat and light.
That is really interesting.
Yeah, and I actually have a question for you. I was just learning a little bit about chemistry, and I wanted to ask this. Why do atoms always contain the same number of electrons and protons?
I actually did learn this earlier in the year, and we were told that atoms do not actually always contain the same number of electrons and protons. Although this state is common, when an atom has an equal number of electrons and protons, it has an equal number of negative electric charges, the electrons, and the positive electric charges, the protons. The total electric charge of the atom is therefore zero, and the atom is said to be neutral. In contrast, when an atom loses or gains an electron, or the rarer cause of losing or gaining a proton, which requires a nuclear reaction, the total charge adds up to something other than zero. The atom is then to be electronically charged or ionized. This is a major difference between the neutral state and the ionized state. In the neutral state, an atom has little electromagnetic attraction to other atoms. Note that the electric field or a neutral atom is weak, but it's not exactly zero because the atom is not a point particle. If another atom gets close enough to the atom, they may begin to share electrons. Chemically, we can say that the atom has formed bonds. So now I have the last question, and when does the breaking of chemical bonds actually release energy?
That's a very good question, and that could also help the new learners of chemistry. The breaking of chemical bonds never releases energy to the external environment. Energy is only released when chemical bonds are formed. In general, a chemical reaction involves two steps. One, the original chemical bonds between the atoms are broken, and two, new bonds are formed.
Oh, so for instance, when you burn methane, a natural gas, in your stove, the methane reacts with oxygen to form carbon dioxide and water.
Yes. Now, that is very little information that we have learned about this year in our chem class, as well as our research outside of class. But I hope with what we gave you, you learned one new thing about chemistry. Thank you for listening to My Chem Podcast, and we hope you enjoy listening to us today.
Have a good time, and please give comments and notes.